It is my privilege to be here this morning. I really am thankful for this opportunity to be a part of the Missions Conference. It's been an opportunity to renew some old friendships and to make many new ones, and I'm thankful for those. And God has been blessing in our lives. We've been encouraged by it, and I know that's one of the desires of those that are involved in the Missions Conference, is to encourage the missionaries. And one of the great things is we get to once in a while spend time with the missionaries ourselves. That's been a blessing to get to meet some of the new people. One of the guys that I had the opportunity to meet, his director was a fellow student at Denver Baptist Bible College and Seminary when it was there in Denver before it merged with Faith in Ankeny, Iowa. That's where I went to school, and it was quite interesting. As we started corresponding about things, talking about things, that he actually shared with me that that he had contact with him continually, and I've lost contact with him for 20 years. So I now have contact with him. So that's been an exciting thing. Another guy we used to play basketball with, he was the head of the basketball program at Denver Baptist when they had it. I actually got chose to play on the team even. That was kind of fun. Take your Bible this morning. 2 Timothy. I agree with Pastor. We're here about the Word of God. Because we're fellow believers, if you know Christ as your Savior. And our desire is to grow in our knowledge and understanding of who God is, how God works, what He's done, and what He's doing, and even what He's going to do. I recently completed a study in Revelation, and it was the most intense study I've ever had of that book, and it's been incredible to me, the things that God taught me as I went through it again. And one of the things that hit me over and over again is how mankind around us, even as you enter into the tribulation, judgment starts coming upon this earth, and man, the Bible says several times in Revelation, refuses to repent. It's like they shake a fist at God. Well, one of the things that I have found in my world today as I travel is that there are more and more people who know about God, know who God is, and don't want Him. Literally have made a choice not to go that direction in their life. They know about God, they've heard about Him, they know about Jesus, and they've literally made and stated, I am not going that direction. Persecution is coming upon the church. Persecution is coming upon the church in the United States. We're starting to see more and more of it. As Paul is writing to 2 Timothy, Paul's in prison. He's in prison. The sentence of death has been placed on his life. He doesn't know when it's going to be carried out. But he's writing to Timothy, his beloved son, sharing things that he would share in the last moments of his life. I like that. It reminds me of a time when I was in Wyoming. One of my Sunday school kids that was in the junior boys, his family and I were close also. And his dad had worked with me when I worked for UPS in Cody. And it was kind of an interesting thing as I was talking with this oldest son of the family. His dad had died in a four-wheeler accident up in the mountains. He went off a cliff. The four-wheeler landed on him 60 feet high and gave him internal bleeding and different things. And Kent was able to sit with his dad for an hour before he passed. And Kent and I were close enough in relationship that I asked Kent, I said, Kent, what did you guys talk about as you went through that? And he shared with me some of those intimate details of the last hour that he spent on earth with his dad. I look at 2 Timothy the same way. Paul's writing to Timothy, It's his last hours of his life. And he's sharing things that he wants Timothy to have to help him in the life that God is continuing to give him, knowing that the time of my departure is coming soon. I've fought the fight, I've kept the faith. There's henceforth laid up in heaven a crown for me. Paul's ready to go. But he comes to 2 Timothy, and he's writing to Timothy, and he calls him my beloved son, and he talks about the intimacy of the relationship of just, I think there's more emotion in 2 Timothy than any of other Paul's epistles. We sometimes take the emotion out of Scripture, but it's packed with emotion. You just have to look. Sometimes we forget it. I don't know how many times you have people who say, well, I'm just not emotional. Have you ever heard that? I always ask the question, God made us with intellect, emotion, and will, right? That's what distinguishes us as a person. If you tell God that you don't have emotion, then you're just two parts, and he didn't create you right. I never hear men telling me, well, I don't have intellect. I've seen that I've questioned. No, never mind. But God made us with intellect, emotion, and will. And this book is packed with emotion. Paul says, I remember your tears in the first part of chapter 1. I'm being mindful of your tears. The last time we were together, last time we parted. But he says this in verse 5. He says, I like how he's talking to Timothy, and he's thanking God, whom he served with a pure conscience. And he's greatly desiring to see him in verse 4. I miss you. I want to see you again. I love you. We're close. We have a great relationship. But then he goes on in verse 5. He says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded in you also. I am convinced that you have a relationship with God. I've been around you, I've been with you, I've been walking with you, I've been teaching with you, I've been traveling with you, I've been doing all these things with you over these years. I'm convinced you're saved. I like 2 Peter chapter 1 because it's not my responsibility to believe you're saved. It's your responsibility to prove it by your attitudes and appetites and drives and desires. It ought to be easily evidenced. Paul says, I'm convinced you're saved. If I brought everybody up here one at a time and asked the rest of the congregation, do you believe this person's saved? What percentage would you put on this person? You're 75% convinced? You know, I want to believe. Anybody tells me they have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that they've gotten saved, I want to believe them with every ounce of my being. You tell me that, I want to believe you. But it's not just me believing. It ought to be evidenced. Paul says here, I'm convinced you have this. You are real. You are genuine. And I believe that of you. I've seen that in you. And I've come to that conclusion about you. Now we know it's the Lord that judges the hearts, right? Praise the Lord. It's not up to us. Jesus said that the Father's committed unto the Son all judgments in John chapter 5, verse 22. Acts chapter 10, verse 42, that Jesus Christ is the judge of the quick and the dead. Praise the Lord for that. It's not up to us to say somebody's saved. It's not up for us or the church to minister grace to people. In other words, we're the dispensers of God's grace. No, it's by the grace of God we're saved, and you have that personal, intimate relationship with Christ. Praise God for that. We ought to be those that minister grace and kindness and love for one another. We ought to be that. But God is the God of all grace. Grace comes from Him. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. But as you study and look at this, Paul's talking about, you know, Timothy, you know very well the sentence that's been passed on my life. I'm going to die. Let me talk to you first of all. I'm convinced you're saved. And therefore, then he says in verse 7, he says, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know what? If there's ever a time of fear in your and my life, it's when persecution starts coming. What's going to happen? How are things going to work? How's this going to change in my life? How am I going to be received? You know, even when we're ministering the gospel, when you're sharing with somebody else about Christ, why do a lot of people never share? Because they're afraid. They're afraid of the reaction. They're afraid of sharing Christ with others, because we do get those reactions. Hey, I don't want it. We even get the reactions that Paul got in Acts chapter 17. Some mock. And they mock and laugh at you. I remember my job that I had when I was in school in Denver. I worked at American Furniture Warehouse, and I worked with the whole crew there. And as I was working with the crew, the guys started nicknaming me. My nickname was Preacher Man. Well, I could think of worse things. I wasn't even a pastor or anything yet. I was just going to Bible college, finishing up. I remember those days, and I remember how God gave opportunity to share the gospel and talk with those men. I remember our foreman of the crew out in the warehouse. I was inside doing inventory and doing all that stuff. And so, but I remember the foreman out there, he would introduce the new guys to me. He says, "This here's Preacher Man." And then he'd look at the new guy and he'd say, "We don't swear on this crew." What? I never said anything about it. But apparently there's some good things that come out of it. I was working on a crew here recently, building and a new building. And as I had that opportunity for a couple of weeks, some of the guys there were obviously not saved and would swear and come out with all sorts of words. You know what they're like. And somebody asked me, they said, "You know, I'll bet it bothers you to hear us talk like this." I said, "No, I consider the source, for out of the heart the man speaks, and you don't know the Lord, and only the Lord can change your heart." So it doesn't bother me. I expect it, because that's who you are. Wow. They'd never heard it that way. You see, it's not between me and them. It's between them and God. Only God can change your heart. Apparently, they watched me and saw me and talked with me. They knew that I was a Christian, and they made that assessment. And they were offended for me by their own language. They carried my offense. I wasn't offended. I considered the source. I knew that's the way they talked. That's who they are. And I pray God will change their hearts. Praise the Lord, one or two of them have already been in church since. It's exciting to see Paul as he's talking to Timothy. First thing he says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but God's given us power and love and a sound mind." You and I should not be ever fearful for being a Christian. Fearful for who we are. Fearful because of what we're going through. And can I even say this? Fearful of persecution. Because it will come. It will come. I remember the first time we were spit upon. We were in Peru in one of the markets handing out tracts. Just handing out tracts. And somebody was offended and spit on one of the peoples. That's going to happen. Those types of things happen all the time. But Paul goes into the next portion and he says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, because you and I can have a tendency to be fearful and embarrassed about being a Christian." Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Paul's writing this, and I like the way he puts it, because this is not in a command, stop being ashamed. This is in the type of a verb that when it comes, and it's going to come, that opportunity is going to be presented to you. When that comes, don't be ashamed of our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. Don't be ashamed. Hold your head up. You're a Christian. You have a relationship with God, the Creator. You have a great opportunity. You have a privilege that many people don't have. You walk with God. What a privilege you have. Why would you be ashamed? It's going to come. Times will come when you and I will be embarrassed. And we'll want to hold back. I should have said, I wish I would have been more bold. I wish I would have... How many times have we walked away from conversations and that's come to our mind? I wish I would have... Well, Paul's saying here, Timothy, God's not giving you the spirit of fear. This is what God's given you. Power and love and a sound mind. You have a sound doctrine, sound faith. And I'm convinced you have it. So when the opportunity comes, and it's going to come, these things are going to happen, don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed about it. I like how he puts it, because he goes on and he describes it in the passage. He puts so much here. Verse 8, he says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Paul was in prison because he spoke the truth. He spoke about Christ. Paul's in prison because he's sharing the message. But he's saying, don't be ashamed of me. I'm just doing what God wants me to do. How many times have we been embarrassed when somebody around us speaks up and we don't? You know, I wish I had that boldness. I wish I had that ability. He goes on and he says, share with me in the fellowship, or in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. But he says in verse 9, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. What a great privilege you have. You were called with a great calling of God. You have been given a great privilege to be saved. You have been given a blessing that is beyond all blessings that you could ever receive, to have the salvation that only God can give. You have a holy calling, not according to you, not according to your works, not according to your abilities, not according to, but because God did this for you. God put this together for you. God made this happen. I like it because it's according to his purpose. It wasn't because we all of a sudden figured it out and I've got a new idea now. No, God has a purpose for every one of us. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a purpose. You have a walk. You have a life that God has for you. Paul says in Philippians 3, and this is his attitude of life, that I might apprehend or lay hold of that for which I've been laid hold of. God saved you for a reason. He has a life for you. He has a purpose for your life. He has a reason for your existence. And it is a privilege and an honor for you and I to be saved. How often do we look at our Christian life like that? How often do we look at it like, oh boy, this is tough? How often do we get discouraged when persecution comes around? You know what? I don't know if I could stand up and I don't, you know, I, yeah. Well, remember who you are. It was brought out in the, I think the banquet on Friday was the 1 Peter chapter 1. I love that portion. You have an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled. In other words, you can't mess it up and nobody else is going to mess it up. It's guaranteed. It's yours. It's reserved for you. It's ready to be revealed who you really are. I'm a child of the King. That's who I am. I'm on my way to heaven. I don't care where I go in this world. Nothing's going to change that. I don't care what anybody does. I don't care what situations we run into. That will never, ever change in my lifetime here on this earth. My existence is, I am a Christian because Jesus Christ saved me. Praise God for that. I'm on my way to heaven. What do I have to be worried about? Every day God gives me, He has a purpose for that day. He has a purpose for my existence every day. He has that for each of us that know the Lord. Go on with me if you would. I like in verse 10, he says, "But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." I have that. Pastor was talking about our son. Chris was a pastor for 12 years. He's pastoring last in Tempe, Arizona, Phoenix area. And he had more potential in his little finger than I do in my life. I mean, I just viewed him as one of those tremendous men. He was a great student of the Word of God. He was a great pastor. People just loved him. But God chose to take him home. You know what? I'm glad for verse 10. Because God brought immortality to life. I just can't see my son right now. I know that one day I will. And that this tabernacle is going to put on a house not made with hands. He's already gotten out of his tent. I'm still sleeping in mine. Oh, by the way, I go backpacking. I have a North Face tent. It's like sleeping in a cabin, but it's still a tent. When I put it up in the sawtooths, it's granite everywhere up there. I sleep on granite. You guys want granite countertops? You can have them. I've had granite seats, granite benches, granite sofas, granite bed. I don't want any more granite. This immortality, wow. I like how he puts it. He brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's what it's all about. You see, really, when it comes to the end of it, it's not how much money we've gained. It's not how much prestige we have. It's not how much power we have. It's Christ. Our life is all about Christ. That's why Paul goes on and he explains even more. He's been appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. And he says, "For this reason," in verse 12, "I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I'm going to stand up. I know who I am." He goes on and he puts it this way. "For I know whom I have believed, and I am absolutely convinced He's able to keep everything I've given to Him." Everything. He is my all in all. I love Colossians 2 where it says that. Christ is our all in all. He's our everything. In Him I have my life. He is life. Christ is my life. What a great little phrase he puts after setting your affections above, seek those things above. And then he says, when Christ shall appear, when Christ, who is our life. That phrase right there, put that in your mind and let that run around for about 6 months till you really get a grasp of it. Christ is my life. That's where I experience life. This is life in Him. Praise God, as we walk through this life on this earth, He's right there every step of the way. He guides and He directs. He shows us And He gives us everything we need to walk and be anything He wants us to be and do. I'm thankful for that. Paul says, I've committed all those things to Him, everything against that day. You know what? I'm going to die. I'm not worried. Why? I'm going to be with the Lord. I was preaching this summer at a camp in Alaska, and I spoke on the subject of God's plan for the ages, you know, how creation started here on earth, and I mean with the new heavens and new earth, or this that God built it out of nothing, Genesis chapter 1. Then the conflict came. Satan all of a sudden won glory. And then man got involved in that conflict. And whether we like it or not, we're involved in it. You want to know how I know? You're going to die too. Whether we like it or not, we're all in that conflict. But praise God, when we have salvation, we're going to be with the Lord. Yes, I'm in this conflict. And yes, I do not have resolution in this life. And I never will have resolution in this life. But praise God, one day we will have that resolution. That's with Him. Praise God for that. Look what He says as He goes on. He says, hold fast in verse 13 and 14. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, and faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Timothy, I'm convinced you're saved. Timothy, time's going to come when you're going to be tempted to be ashamed or embarrassed about Christ, embarrassed about me, His servant. Don't go there. Because God's called you with a holy calling. God saved you. God's given you a great salvation. And that's, I know that God's done that in my life, and I'm convinced of that. And matter of fact, He's made me a speaker, and things that He's done in my life, Paul said, an apostle, and I suffer these things because of the gospel's sake. He says that in chapter 2. And as he goes through all this, and he comes to Timothy, he says, okay, now you, hold fast, what do you know? What do you know? What do you know for sure? Is that a good question? What do you know? Well, I know how the United States is going to turn out, right? Under this new president. Excuse me. I have great hopes. I always have hope. I know how the world situation is going to turn out. We're going to deal with all this radical Islam stuff, and everything's going to turn out fine, and everything's going to be hunky-dory, and Christians will stop being persecuted, and we're going to be able to freely and openly worship our God. You got your head in the sand, right? No, there's a lot of fears out there. There's a lot of things to be concerned about. I mean, you even talk about it in your own job situation. Can you freely, openly talk about the Lord in your job situation? Sometimes they don't let you, do they? Sometimes there's different things. You just... But praise the Lord! That doesn't change the fact. What do I know for sure? I know for sure that I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I have a relationship with the Savior because Jesus Christ died for my sins, He was buried and He rose again on the third day, completing the payment, and I by faith trusted Christ as my Savior many years ago, and that's continuing on in my life because salvation is in the present tense. God's still saving me. We are saved. I have that assurance of God because He said He's going to bring this to fruition. And when I pass from this life and into immortality to be with the Lord, I know that He's going to bring that to fruition in my life. Why? Because He promised He would. He saved me. He's given me every assurance. Praise the Lord for that. Hold fast. What do I know? I know as hard as it gets out there, as bad as it gets out there, that nobody's going to take that from me. I know as bad as every situation can be, and there's some difficult things I had a question and answer time in church, one of the churches, and one of the questions was, where's the goodness of God when a child is abused in every way possible? Good question. And I've met people that have gone through those things and have dealt with those things, and I'm thankful that there's salvation, and that God is there to comfort and give His grace and enable and help through those things, to deal with those things. And I'm thankful for the forgiveness of sin. Because some of us have been involved in things we shouldn't have been, right? We're all sinners and we need a Savior, right? And praise God for His salvation, right? I remember speaking about abortion recently, and I always bring this up when I talk about that subject. You may be here and have gone through that in one way, shape, or form. The greatest guilt that I'm finding is guys that encouraged a girlfriend to get an abortion. But praise God for the forgiveness of sin. We have that. Hebrews chapter 10, when he says, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." I'm thankful for that verse. Praise the Lord, I have that. Praise God for that. Isn't that wonderful? It's not because I deserve it. It's because He did it for us by His grace. He did it. And Paul says, hold fast. And then he says in verse 14, that good thing which was committed to you, keep. Another version says, guard, protect. What is valuable to you in your life? My relationship with my God. My walk with the Savior. He has bestowed upon me a great privilege to have His salvation. To be saved. You have been honored by God to have that. You have been lifted up by God to have His salvation. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's you. What a privilege. Keep it. Guard it. You've been given a precious gift. I tell people, as we're at a missions conference, I tell people, even this, all the time, I have the greatest job in the world. I get to go everywhere that God sends me and tell people that there's a God that loves them. And He's provided a salvation for them, full and free, in the forgiveness of sins. He can meet the needs in their life. That's my God. What a great privilege. What a great honor. Guard. Keep. So my question this morning, as Paul's starting out this book, and this is just an introductory to the book. There's so much in the Second Timothy that I just love this book. He's giving words to his son in the faith. He says, I'm sure you're saved. I'm convinced of that. I just see it in your life. I know that you have a real relationship with God. It's just obvious. Timothy, God's not given us a spirit of fear. Don't be fearful. God's given us power and love and a sound mind. And Timothy, when it comes time, and it's going to happen, you're going to want to feel embarrassment, or you're going to be ashamed of the Lord. Ashamed of the very fact that you're identified as a Christian. You don't need to go there. Remember, Timothy, you've been saved with a holy calling. You've been given a great purpose, a great privilege from God. What a great opportunity you have. And Paul says, that's me too. I'm not ashamed. I'm convinced God's going to keep everything I've committed to Him. Timothy, hang on to what you know. He reiterates this in chapter 3. Continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of. What you know for sure. I know there's a God in heaven. I know He loves me. He's provided a complete salvation, and I know it's mine. I'm on my way to heaven. Praise God. I know these things. The time will come when you're embarrassed. Time will come when you're ashamed. You have opportunity for that. Don't go there. Remember who you are. Hold fast those good things. You've been given a great gift of salvation. You've been privileged. And I consider it a privilege and an honor to be a Christian. I don't take it for granted. I am so thankful for that privilege. And then to walk with God and experience that life that only He can give on this earth. And this is just the start. It's going to get better. Praise God. I'm thankful for that. There's many things in this life I don't like. I don't like seeing people hurt. I don't like seeing the effects of sin in people's lives. I don't like seeing somebody go through death. I don't like it. I don't have to like it. I have to understand it. And I do understand it. This life is not all there is. This life's affected by sin. This world's affected by the curse of sin. Me included. But I have a God that loves me. And He sent the Savior. And through Jesus Christ, I have eternal life. And now I can walk with that God in this life and experience what God has as He works in me, changing me, molding me, as He works through me to be a blessing to others, to encourage, to build up the body, to give a testimony to the lost, to share with people who are willing to listen. God works through us. That's you too, right? It's not just me. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is us, right? What a great privilege we've been given. Let me ask you the question, are you ashamed? Is there something in your life not right? You know it. You're not keeping that fellowship, that walk with the Savior. You've let sin come in some way. There's an attitude or there's something going on in your life, and you know you're not where you should be. I'm thankful. My God will point those things out. You know it in your own heart, don't you? You need to deal with it because that's why God's pointing at that. And if you're walking with the Lord, you understand what I'm saying. And I praise God you're excited about that life and the privilege you have to be a Christian. What a great privilege we have. What a great honor. What great love He's bestowed on us, as John said in 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love He's given to me. He's given to you. What a privilege it is to be a Christian. Let's pray as we close. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I know You know each of us better than we even know ourselves. So Lord, I ask that You'd work in our hearts. You know what we need. I pray that You would just work as only You can for Your honor and Your glory. That we'd just be honest and sincere with You. Minister to hearts as only You can, Lord. And I thank You that You love us. I thank You for the great privilege of having salvation full and free through our Savior. Thank You, God. Thank You for the forgiveness of sins. Thank You, God, for the immortality that'll swallow up this life and that we have eternal life with You. And what a privilege it is to know that nobody can take that away. We can't mess it up our own selves, but that You've done it all, and You will bring it to pass. And Lord, what a privilege it is to know, so shall we be with You. Thank you, God. Let us not be ashamed. Let us not be fearful, Lord. Help us. Thank you for warning us. When those times come, Lord, may we be reminded of who we are in you, Lord, and that it's all about you. Thank you, God. To you be the praise and glory in Christ's precious name. Amen.